Got a chipped windshield? Save both time and money. Call or go online to glassdoctor.com. That's glassdr.com.
Call the Glass Doctor, we'll fix your paint.
You are looking live at a pretty much transformed development in North Bismarck, North 43rd, cash-wise. Quite the new road development, everything else up here. We're broadcasting live on What's on Your Mind today at cash-wise. We're here because Thanksgiving is next week. A lot of people are heading out, and we've set the pumps. Are you ready? To $1.46. $1.46. That's right. And there's a little bit of a wait to get in and get the gas at $1.46, you can understand why. Doesn't take long, you know, pretty quick, but they're moving pretty quick. But at $1.46, yes. Also, $20 gift cards we were giving away from CashWise, those are gone already. Yeah, that's how quick things went. We do, though, have $10 gift cards from CashWise. So you fill up with unleaded 88, $1.46 a gallon. You come in, you pay. They give you a $10 gift card from CashWise. And the great price goes until 5 tonight. So come on into CashWise, North 43rd in Bismarck, where we're broadcasting live today on What's on Your Mind for a Friday edition. As always, we're joined by Senator Kevin Cramer and the Talk Radio Town Hall. Hello, Senator. How are you?
Hey, Scott. I'm very well, thanks. I wish I could be with you at CashWise. That sounds like a great time. Unfortunately, I filled my car already, though, so.
Unfortunately what? You just filled up?
I just filled up my car, so.
You did? Well, I would go for a long drive and then come back and fill. That'd make
I can come back. That's, yeah. I can think of lots of jokes, but I'll skip it.
Questions or comments are always welcome for Senator Cramer. You can text Todd, the radio god, 701-226-8503. He gets all the good questions. You understand, Kevin?
I did.
Yeah. Mine is 701-367-2054, and you can call us at 800-228-0550. Let me begin by asking you, what is on your mind today at this moment?
On mine?
Yeah, on your mind.
On my mind. So at this very moment, I've been thinking a little bit about Thanksgiving. I've been getting some reporter questions about Thanksgiving, so I've been thinking about all the things I'm thankful for. In fact, I got a text last night from the National Journal wondering what I'm thankful for. So I'm thinking about that. I know it's just about a week away, but it's awfully good to be thinking about something other than politics.
It is. That's for sure. Thanksgiving. I'm guessing, though, those reporters, you know, they were calling just to give you a warm, fuzzy question, but their real answer is like, are you going to have eight people over instead of the recommended five? Or don't you think they're probably going to have like spies out?
So this last week in Washington, because of the North Dakota making a lot of national news, being the number one per capita and all that stuff, I've got lots of questions about North Dakota and am I afraid yet? That's the most common one. You keep saying you're not afraid. Are you afraid yet? And all I can ever do is chuckle and say you don't understand. The disease doesn't scare me. Fear is not one of the factors. I don't curl up in the corner and suck my thumb because of a virus. That's not. Fear is not one of the emotions that I feel. I choose not to, quite honestly. So they always get confused by that, Scott. It's amazing. But anyway, also I always have to explain math to them too and say, you know, the reason that places like North Dakota and South Dakota and even Iowa, you know, the reason they're always in the sort of the top three per capita statistics, whether it's, you know, the best side of things or the worst side of things, is because we're small populations and the denominator in the, you know, is small. And so, you know, when there's a surge of 10, it's a percent. It's not, you know, it's not like other places. So anyway, I always confound them with sort of my freedom lover answers to questions about North Dakota.
Conventional wisdom is that we're the highest in the nation per capita because we're a bunch of hicks that don't know any better and we don't care and
right.
We just flirt every rule there is and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
My thought is that what they don't realize is that we have a largely elderly population. We have more than our fair share of elderly population. Obviously, that's a target, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that sort of skews the numbers. I don't get any sense here that anybody's running around saying whatever. I'll just do whatever
whatever I want, not following any rule, and that's why we're, you know, they're the reason this is happening. What's your take?
So my take is a little bit of it is cultural. I mean, I do think that North Dakotans, Westerners in general, you know, Dakotans, Montanans, Wyoming, people out here in the West are pragmatic, but we're also fiercely independent. And the one way to affect human behavior that probably works the least is to require it. You know, I mean, so there's a little bit of that probably in us, Scotty. But it's because we're common sense. It's because we know each other. It's because we're nice by nature. And so while we're compliant by nature, where we're not compliant a lot of times is when things are forced upon us. And I think it's an important factor and it's an important read. But I also think that out here in the West and in a place like North Dakota, the real issue isn't so much telling people what to do or how to do it. And I've not talked to the governor about his latest mask mandate, but I do think a lot of it is driven by hospital and healthcare capacity, which includes workforce capacity. I don't think that's a big secret, but it is also not irrelevant. And that's why I think the governor has responded the way he's responded, and some people don't like it. Some people are applauding it. Most people are mad because they either did it too late or he did it at all. And so he's kind of in a no-win situation. But I do think that he's responding appropriately to the cries of the, and I don't mean literal cries, I mean the admonition, if you will, the request of the medical community who's feeling overwhelmed right now. And that's, again, that's a really important factor that I think we all have to consider in all of this. What I worry about, Scott, is that masks aren't really the issue here. I think it's the weather. I think it's people moving back indoors. It's not unique to North and South Dakota. It's around the entire country. We'll just have to see what happens. I worry a lot, though, as much or more about the other factors than I do about the virus itself, and that is our economy and its impact on people's mental health, the students and their the effect on their mental health, everything, all the other issues such as alcohol and other drug abuse that's on the rise, violence that's on the rise, including domestic violence, which is on the rise, depression, which is on the rise. We have to put this virus in the context of the whole. And while we need to listen to doctors and emergency room physicians, and we need to listen to nurses, and we need to listen to infectious disease experts, we also have to listen to mental health experts, and we have to listen to moms and dads and the whole gambit. And that's why it's so difficult for a lot of these governors and our president.
All I hear on mental health issues is lip service. People acknowledge it's a real concern and it's a problem, but we don't ever do anything about it. I mean, I think athletics is a prime example. You shut down athletics and you remove from kids a purpose. Right? They're missing so many events. Now you pull that away. It's like, I get that you understand it's a problem. What are you doing about it? How are we fixing it? Right? I mean, I think we got to get a lot better at that.
Well, we have to get a lot better at aiming at the targets. And kids aren't the targets, you know. And young people in general shouldn't be the target. I think if we've learned anything, and we have to, I think, also acknowledge we're learning every day, which is part of the problem, which is why there are so many moving targets, why, masks at the beginning weren't necessary, according to Anthony Fauci. Then they became critical, and then they became critical because it prevents you from spreading the disease. But now the newest thing is, oh, by the way, it can also prevent you from getting the disease. And nobody knows, Scott. Nobody knows. If they knew, they wouldn't keep changing their minds. And that's not anybody's fault. It's the fault back to dealing with a brand new virus.
Did you see the comments of Kelby Krabanoff in an email to some of his senior management by chance?
I did not.
So Kelby Krabanoff is the head of Sanford Health, and he they took a picture of him at a golf tournament. He didn't have a mask on. So then, of course, the mask shamers come in. Hey, where's the mask? Why is your mask? And it turns out he had COVID, and he recovered from COVID. But he went on to say that he's never seen. He was a surgical tech, I think, long ago in his youth, and he said, the basic simple things we learned about masks, he said, to look how masks are handled and how many times they're touched, it's a disaster. It's a disaster. That's the head of Sanford Health,
right.
And in my mind, you just got to do what you're going to do on Mass and not worry about anybody else, because otherwise you'll spend your whole life, you know, either Mass shaming or, you know, in a battle saying, you know, hey, they're not effective anyway. Just, you know, just be smart. People know how to be smart. They know all enough facts by now that we should be okay. But I just couldn't believe to see that. That was something. Let me get Ken in here on here for Senator Kevin Cramer. Go ahead, Ken.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I was listening to a couple people before the break talking about being in fear of what's going on with the election and the fear of this virus going on. I just want to encourage people. The Bible says very clearly in Daniel chapter 2 that God raises up and God brings down kings. We hear that again in Psalm 75. You know what? God is in control of this situation. God knows what these people are up to. God knows what they did. And you and I need to put our faith in God, whether it's the fear of this virus, the fear of the politics going on. The Lord is in control, and nothing happens without Him. You and I need to be on fire for Christ, because if we're not hot or cold, He's going to spit us out of our mouth.
I love that. I love that passage. Ken, thanks. Well said. Going to break. We'll let Kevin respond when we come back. We're going to talk with our friends from CashWise in a moment as well. Live, North 43rd CashWise, Bismarck. Back in Bismarck, CashWise today, North 43rd, $1.46 a gallon. I'm gonna say that one more time, nice and slow. $1.46 a gallon. That's what you fill up for today, CashWise, in Bismarck on North 43rd. It is unleaded 88 on special for $1.46 a gallon today. And once you fill up, come inside and pay, you get a $10 gift card from CashWise. We ran out of the $20 gift cards, so we had to, we were down to the tens, but you still get one heck of a good deal, so you can buy a little something for Thanksgiving meal, a CashWise certificate, or, you know, save it for the next fill as you're heading out. Jim Polk is here. Jim is the store director for CashWise. Congrats on a beautiful new store here, Jim.
Thank you very much.
This is wonderful.
It is.
Yeah, and I imagine every time you build one, you get a chance to tweak it just a little bit and put the latest in there.
You bet. Put the latest, the greatest, a little more variety, you know, whatever we can do to enhance the store for the next generation.
Who's in charge of that retaining wall out there? That must have been something, huh?
That retaining wall is like the Great Wall of CashWise.
Hey, look, I couldn't tell if it was the Garrison Dam or the Great Wall of CashWise, but that's a doozy out there, yeah.
It is.
But it looks nice and did the job, obviously, and things going good?
It is going wonderful. You know, now with 43rd Avenue completely, you know, all the construction is completed. We're open from the highway to Washington. The flow of traffic has been great. So, yeah, it's just so easy to get into CashWise now.
Nice deal, too, that we can serve up $1.46 a gallon gas today.
Huh? Oh, $1.46 a gallon gas is just awesome. I can't remember the last time I seen $1.46 a gallon gas.
I took a picture and tweeted it just because I was so like, oh, my gosh, look at this.
and a $2 car wash to boot. I mean,
that's right.
You know,
that's right. Yeah.
What more could you ask?
Don't forget that deal, the $2 car wash deal. And then come inside, $10 gift card while they last as well for CashWise.
And that gift card is good at CashWise, CashWise liquor, gas, whatever you need it for.
Are the turkeys flying out the door?
Turkeys are flying out the door at 36 cents a pound with a $30 purchase this week. They are flying off the shelves. Best price in town.
Great deal. Joe, good to see you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Jim Polk is the store director of CashWise, North Fargo, and that's where we're at today for the show. By the way, the deal on the $1.46 unleaded 88, the $2 off on the car wash, and the $10 gift cards go till 5 o'clock tonight. The gift cards till they last, but the gas special till 5 o'clock tonight. So come on in and take advantage of that for sure. Back with Senator Kevin Cramer in the Talk Radio Town Hall. A bunch of calls waiting, but I want to give you a chance to respond to that last one. You know, we've had some calls and emails from people who are fearful of what's going on. And it's much more about, honestly, the election than it is about COVID. Or anything in that regard, but you know, I mean, some are COVID, some are the election, some are just the times in which we live, and you and I have talked about this on this program before, because I think we have a very similar view of you know, how we handle you know, worry or concern and fear. You just give it up. So what was your thoughts when you heard from that caller?
See, there's a lot. You know, Romans tells us, right? Paul tells us in Romans, I think it's in 13th chapter, there's no authority except by God. So in other words, God, the authorities that exist have been established by God. And that's sometimes tough to swallow in a, you know, democracy or a representative republic when you disagree with the authority. But that's why you have to have the long view all the time. And I think that people of faith need to have the long view. I largely think, Scott, and I don't want to diminish people's legitimate fears, don't get me wrong, but I largely have always believed, at least in all my adulthood, that fear is an idol. I mean, it's a godless thing. Partly because if you have an eternal perspective, what's going to happen in this blink of an eye in mortality that's going to affect that? That's what should matter the most. And so I do think fear is largely driven by, you know, a shortcoming of faith, and that's why we need to keep our focus on the eternal. And in the case of those of us who are Christians, that's in the grace of Jesus Christ, whose grace is far, far, far greater than our sins even. And that's saying something for some of us, including me. So, I don't disagree with them at all. And it's one of the things that confounds people that don't have faith, is when you see, when they see faithful people walking in confidence and joy. And that's a choice that people make as a gift of God's grace and faith.
I've said before, it's kind of a joke, but I've said that if I write another book, the book is going to be Pray for Trials. And you know, because it's amazing the stories about trials in one's life that lead you closer to being able to destroy that fear through your faith.
Yeah.
And so if COVID or somebody quarantining or, you know, the election results or whatever have got you in the fearful category, maybe that's your wake-up call to say, well, I shouldn't be fearful. What am I missing? What am I missing? That's a trial that would be for good. Let's see here. Who is next? Nate Fargo for Senator Kevin Cramer. Go ahead, Nate.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning.
Well, you don't sound very happy. Maybe it's because I'm going to grill you a little bit.
That's quite the greeting.
I'm very joyful, but I'm not.
He's not
well,
fearing
Senator,
it. We know that.
As an American citizen, I'm sitting here wondering, where is the House of Representatives and the Senate when it comes to helping President Trump? Where are the Republicans? You guys need to fight for him. Second, I'm looking at how much we owe in the national debt. We have $155 trillion in U.S. unfunded liabilities, and we also have around $28 trillion what we're liable for. Now let's switch to the COVID numbers real quick. I'm starting to think that maybe this COVID thing started here in the United States, because we have 11.8 million cases in the U.S. right now. You know how many China has? 86,000. We have 250,000 deaths in America. China has 4,600. Now, I think that Republicans need to jump on board, help Mr. Trump, and fight like the Democrats do. I think that we need to pay attention to our national debt a little bit so we don't get sold off in a big fire sale.
All right, you got a good laundry list there, so I'm going to give the senator a chance to respond.
Well, there's a couple of things that come to mind. First of all, Republicans are taking a lot more fire for not caving than they are for defending Donald Trump these days. So Nate is in a very small minority right now, because by and large we're being criticized for facilitating Donald Trump's opposition to the election to this point. They want to see us somehow just walk him out of the White House or some crazy thing. So that's a little strange. The other thing that's a little strange about what Nate is saying is, on the one hand, he wants us to do more of what Trump wants us to do. On the other hand, he's worried about the debt. Remember, it was Republicans in Congress that prevented us from agreeing to a $3.4 trillion next COVID package, because Donald Trump wanted to do more than Nancy Pelosi. So you got to be a little bit careful. Now, with regard to China and the United States, I am so sorry to have to say this, but China lies a lot. China is right now our number one adversary in the world. They created this virus. They allowed it to spread if they didn't actually perpetrate it. And the fact that, you know, that China has only 86,000 or whatever they're saying they have these days can be a number of things, not the least of which is they could just be lying to us. It's not like they're transparent. Remember, any reporter that dares report something differently than what they put out gets removed from the country. Secondly, they just happen to miss a lot of people suddenly when numbers don't work real well. So I'd be very careful giving China more credibility than the United States of America needs.
Nate, thanks for the call. We'll continue with more after this. Tim in Bismarck is next to go. 800-228-0550. This day is just flying right by, folks. Must be because it's so fun watching folks fill up with $1.46 a gallon of unleaded 88. You know, the smile on their face is unbelievable. There's one thing that is Thanksgiving next week, and knowing where they're going, but they're filling up at $1.46 a gallon. And if I were you, I'd find a way to get to the Cashwise on North 43rd in Bismarck and fill up at $1.46 a gallon. Get a $2 car wash, get a $10 gift card while they last. What's not to love? What's not to love? Come on in here and take advantage of that great deal. Speaking of the holidays, are you thinking at all about what you're going to be giving for gifts this year? I can make it so easy for you. And I'm telling you, the reaction you'll get when they open the present will just be worth, you know, priceless. Unbelievable. I'm talking about MyPillow. My friend Mike Lundell has the MyPillow Premium queen size, regularly $69.98, price now at $40 off. 40 bucks off, so it's $29.98. $5 more if you want a king. Now is the time to buy. Lowest price ever, best Christmas gift ever, and $29.98 queen size premium MyPillow. And they've extended that 60-day money-back guarantee where you can say, okay, I want to make sure I like this. Do I like this? Do I not like this? You know, 60 days. They extended that to March 1st, 2021. Go to MyPillow.com, Radio Listener Square. You'll find amazing offers like that one on MyPillow products. Giza Dream bed sheets, MyPillow mattress topper, towel sets, and more. Call them at 800-506-9028. That's their number, 800-506-9028, or MyPillow.com, promo code Scott. Back with Senator Kevin Cramer and the Talk Radio Town Hall. What's on your mind? Senator Cramer here to visit a little bit about it today on the program. Bottom line on the election before we go to the calls. You know, we saw a press conference yesterday, Rudy Giuliani, Sidney Powell, Jenna Ellis, sharp lawyer from the Trump campaign, you know, Joe DiGenova, Victoria Tunzing. These are like who's who attorneys in Washington, D.C., right? All have been there, done that. You know, another one now involved is Lynn Wood, this guy from Atlanta who's a super attorney. And they're just saying basically, you know, we're drinking from a fire hose of evidence and affidavits here, okay? And now we've got to go get it challenged in court, and it's going to get tossed out in Democratic, courts, and ultimately this is going to the Supreme Court. This is the other thing. Media reports is like, oh, I got tossed out of court. Well, hello, how do you get to the Supreme Court? It gets tossed out of court, the lower court. You know, they're so dumb, it's ridiculous. But I know a lot of people listen to this program. A lot of people call, they email me. I have friends, I have family. They are absolutely hanging on every word, and they want everything possible being done to help this particular situation across the finish line and get to an answer on are our elections free and fair? Was every legal vote counted or not? And I don't think they see enough stomach from other Republicans, from the rest of the Republican apparatus. Now, I realize you got a plate full, you got other things going on, but what do you say to folks that, you know, and they've said it in previous conversations about this since the election, what do you say to them? I mean, are you 100% all in? You want Donald Trump to win this and see a path and help in any way you can? Are the other senators doing this? Give us some comfort in that regard.
Well, you know, sort of interesting, because if you pay attention at all to national news, you'll see that Republican members of Congress have almost universally, now Mitt Romney's an exception, maybe Lisa Murkowski, but have almost universally stood 100%, including, by the way, Mitch McConnell. I don't know how Mitch McConnell, the leader, the Republican leader in the Senate, could be more firm than he's been. Really, I mean, unless you're not paying attention, which I think a lot of people don't see everything, and they don't watch C-SPAN every morning to watch the opening statements of the senators and things like that. But I don't know how they could be more supportive. But the other thing people have to remember is, we also had Senate elections and House elections. Looks like Nancy Pelosi may just barely hang on to her speakership in the House of Representatives. The Senate, you know, we're right now we have 50 Republican senators, and we need one more and hopefully two more in the runoff on January 5th in Georgia. That's obviously election-centric. And so we're all focused on that, as well as remember, we have to govern. It's not like January 20th is going to come and go and there won't be a president. We have to govern. And the country has to continue on. It's going to. Let's put it that way. It's sort of like hoping that you're going to win the Super Bowl, but when the gun goes off at the end of the game, it has to go off at some point. And so you just have to start planning for the next season. So all of those things have to happen in concert, which is why my position has been really, really clear. We ought to be planning for there ought to be cooperation with the transition team while we fight every fight for every right down to the end. Even, by the way, my other belief is this. Even if we can't overturn the election, and it is, I'll be honest, it's difficult for me to see, even listening to all of those celebrity attorneys, it's difficult for me to see that being the outcome, the remedy. Now, maybe it can happen. The only way it would happen would be if the United States Supreme Court could be convinced through evidence that it should happen. But they ought to move forward with all of that. I do think they ought to be a little more forthcoming with evidence. Scott, I mean, I watch some of these news conferences and I think, okay, this is all great, but where's the, show me, please show people. And I realize they're waiting to get into court, and some of the cases that have been tossed out have not been based on evidence. They've been based on standing. That's a very different standard than evidence. And I know that sort of gets wonky and gets very legalese. So that's why we need to hang in there with President Trump and with his challenges, realizing we're not going to see all the evidence until it's presented in a courtroom. But in the meantime, we also have to prepare for the eventuality that there could be a Biden-Harris administration. And if there is, we don't want them to have to learn everything on January 21st. We need to be able to be prepared, because I'd rather prepare and not need the preparation than not prepare and wish I had it.
Tim in Bismarck, by the way, that's so ironic to me. That they're belly aching now about, well, we're not getting the information and it's people are going to die and everything. Wait a minute. You spent the entire 4 years talking about how rotten the Trump administration was, how terrible they were. I saw a press conference yesterday that absolutely destroyed every argument from Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Every one of them about the virus and the response and everything else from a Trump coronavirus task force. Now it's, we need the info, need the info.
What's so funny about that, Scott, what's so weird about that, watching that thing play out, is you'd have to be living in Iraq, or in Joe Biden's case, a basement, and not have your TV on to not know what the distribution plan is. And by the way, Operation Warp Speed, which is by any measure hugely successful, even though Democrats don't want to admit it, it's hugely successful. And that Operation Warp Speed is run by the Defense Department. It's not even run by the White House. It's run by the Defense Department on purpose. So there is a continuation. And we just had a briefing yesterday from Operation Warp Speed on the distribution strategy and plan. I just watched a CNBC special right from a location of hundreds of thousands of doses, maybe millions of doses of the Pfizer vaccine, the ready to roll as soon as it's cleared to go. So, no, this is nonsense, whiny, media-encouraged nonsense by the Democrats. No. That's not my point. But my point, though, is there are a lot of other things besides, the coronavirus vaccines and distribution that we ought to be preparing for a transition for.
Tim in Bismarck, go ahead for Senator Kevin Cramer.
Yes, I'd like to ask Senator Cramer about his opinion of something Lindsey Graham did. But before that, I'd like to say, hey, Nate, I agree with pretty much everything you said, but the communists do lie. And those two 65-year-old callers that called before that one break that were worried about the Democratic Communist Party, they didn't have to watch very public TV last night to know how dangerous the Democratic National Party is. Then I'd also like to say, shame on Heidi Heitkamp. That comment she made several weeks ago about conservative people and about them being militant and causing problems and stuff with Biden getting elected, that she's a despicable, hateful, divisive person. Shame on her. She lives right by Memorial Bridge in Bismarck, and when they had the boat parade, and the liberals came up and were attacking the conservative people on the bridge, she didn't say a thing about that. Shame on her. Then getting back to Lindsey Graham, mm-hmm. If I understand or remember correctly what I saw on TV about the travel ban, shortly after the travel ban, Lindsey Graham introduced a bill to exempt a lot of privileged and rich Chinese students and children from China to get special privileges in the United States. And the Senate shot that down and did not allow that to go through. I think he's probably got a lot of Chinese money behind him, but whether he does or not, is that, do I remember correctly about him introducing a bill like that and trying to kind of help the Chinese people?
I don't recall that. I have to admit, I don't recall that at all. Let's not say it didn't happen. I just, it's not sounding familiar to me. Maybe I'll learn before the end of the show, but doesn't sound familiar to me.
Tim, thanks for the call. He was loaded for bear today. No, I don't. No, I don't. Let's see who is next. Go to Dickinson. And Dave, waiting to chat. Dave, go ahead. You're up on What's on Your Mind.
Good morning, gentlemen. Senator, with all your time in Congress and stuff and dealing with Joe Biden, did you find anything to counter the fact that his name stands for biggest idiot Democrats ever nominated?
Well, it's funny you say that because I would encourage you, people who like political history and particularly contemporary political history, to read Mitch McConnell's memoirs, The Long Game, because he talks about a lot of the characters. Now, I never really worked with Joe Biden. Joe Biden was vice president for a couple of years of my terms, my House term, a couple terms in the House. But he really never came over to the House. I've never met the man. I've met the president, President Obama, a couple times. I never worked with Biden. Biden did do a lot of work, however, in the Senate for President Obama because of his longtime relationships. And so, the reason I say read Mitch's book is because Mitch does talk about Joe Biden, and it's not very flattering on the intellectual side, shall we say.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Have a great day.
You bet. Thanks. No, Joe Biden, to my knowledge, Scott, I mean, people who know Joe Biden have never accused him of being real bright. Nice guy.
Didn't Obama get quoted saying something like that about him? Either before he picked him as VP or after, I forget, but it was something to the effect of, Joe's got a limited capacity or something to that effect. So
it wouldn't surprise me. He's a backslapper. He's a club member. He's a good old boy. He's a touchy-feely, as we know, kind of guy. But no one's really accused him of being a genius. But his personality does lend itself to his deal making.
Right. I guess there's one attribute there. I think Donald Trump said it best about Joe Biden during much of the campaign when he called him a vessel. That in fact what he would end up being is really a vessel for other interests. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think that was well said. Take a break. Come back with more. Oh, they're standing in line, folks, for the $1.46 a gallon deal today. Cashwise North 43rd in Bismarck, broadcasting live. Don't go away.
Powered by Schwann Buick GMC. Looking for like new sport utility? Your best deals at Schwann Buick GMC. Over 80 SUVs, all price ranges starting at $11,900. Save thousands on gently used Cadillacs, Yukons, Terrains, Equinoxes, Acadias. All reduced, must go. Most come with Schwann's very own lifetime powertrain warranty. Buy today and save us some of the lowest rates, finance rates. They're the lowest in years. Hurry for the best selection. Look for the gigantic American flag at Memorial Highway or online at SchwannBuickGMC.com.
Texter says, we're losing our republic. Republicans aren't doing anything about it. Hashtag facts. Any response, Senator Kramer?
That's where we have elections. I guess I'm a little bit confused by some of it. I don't know what more you want to do other than protect the integrity of elections. That's the fight that we're in. One of the things I think some people would like to see, and I would just sort of warn them a little bit about this, sometimes I get the sense that maybe some conservatives want to federalize the elections, and that is something that we need to stand up against, because that's exactly what Nancy Pelosi wants. That's why we haven't passed a second or a more recent CARES package, because in that CARES package she wants to federalize the elections. So then you would have nationwide ballot harvesting.
a prohibition on voter identification at the state level. And so what you, that's what you end up with those, in those scenarios. But there is a constitution, and the constitution is what the Trump administration is fighting with in the United States Supreme Court. And that's one of the bigger issues related to, for example, what Pennsylvania did. Pennsylvania changed their law without the legislature changing it. They did it by court. That's not legal. There's other places. I think Michigan had something similar. I'm not sure about Georgia. In the case of Georgia, what they did is, you know, we're finding all these votes now, and I don't know whether there's going to be enough or not, but when you start finding tranches of thousands of votes that weren't counted, that Donald Trump leads in all of these tranches of votes, it's very problematic. The problem is it's not a federal issue. Those are all state issues. But when you violate the Constitution and change your law prior to the election, but the law wasn't changed by your legislature, that is a constitutional violation. So that's why the Trump administration is taking these things to the United States Supreme Court, those constitutional questions. But many of these questions are in state courts, and they're in Democratic state courts, I might add, and they're in oftentimes Democratic municipal courts where, again, those aren't Republicans. Those are the Trump administration, the Republican Party, and Republican voters doing exactly what they should be doing, and that is taking their grievance to the other branch of government that can do something about it. But they have an expectation, I think, by their reading that somehow this is just going to flip over in these courtrooms. And just, again, remembering, these elections are state issues. They're not federal. There is no such thing as a federal election. And to the degree that the federal constitution is violated, then the United States Supreme Court can weigh in. So I don't
let's
really
go to,
know what more they want to have happen unless you call out the military or something, and I certainly wouldn't support that.
Kevin in Fergus Falls for Senator Kramer.
Yes, Senator, thank you so much for the quote on Romans. That's what we hang on to. I appreciate you taking time on the flag. I love this station. And Scott,
I do too.
Hopefully you got my text last night about five-man group signs. You should play that on air for Senator Kramer. Signs everywhere, a sign.
All right. We'll save that one for next week. Kevin, thanks for the kind words.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Scott. Thank you for being
thanks,
here,
Kevin.
Because you know what? We're hanging on to this like you can't believe. And KBRF down here is doing a great job, too. They really are. I said, you have friends in Fergus Falls. And KBRF, there's a small little station in Fergus. They're hanging tough, and they're doing a good job.
That's great. Well,
awesome.
we're a big believer in radio. So we support them all. Appreciate it. Kevin Grand Forks, last question for Senator Kevin Kramer. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, it's something I've been trying to find out. With all the uncounted ballots in Georgia, all you hear about is, you know, Trump's got a bunch of them. Do they open them, and do they count Senator Perdue's ballots too? Because
Great question, Kevin. Yes, they do count. They do count Senator Perdue as well in terms of the new ones that get added in. I think the recount is a little different, but to your point, yes. And I want to say there's like four or five different chips that have been revealed through the recount process of votes that hadn't been counted, not votes that were counted wrong, but hadn't been counted. Those do go toward Senator Perdue's. And the reason for Kevin's question is, of course, if Senator Perdue can get to 50%, he doesn't need to participate in the runoff. Whether that happened or not.
Yeah, and then we have our 51 that we need.
Then we have our 51 we need, and then we'll still fight like crazy to keep Senator Loeffler in the runoff and have 52, because 52 is better than 51. I've made it 53 in my election, Scott, and I think maybe, I hope North Dakota Republicans understand how valuable that is, because we had a lot of 51 vote margins, and that meant that a couple of Republicans either weren't there or they went the other direction on us, and having that one more vote, boy, that's critical in a lot of cases.
Is there anywhere where you can go online, you know, they keep track of the percentages, where it will show the increase? You know, he's been at this 49.7% forever, and I'm just wondering if they're counting them in, are they increasing that percentage, or is this something?
So I don't know. When I look, Kevin, my problem is the same as yours. I don't know that they've changed it. The one that I use, I think it's even a New York Times one that I.
All right, we're gonna have to leave it there. We're out of time, as we always are. Run out of time.
Thank you, Senator Kramer. Thank you, Kevin and Grant Forks. Don't forget, $1.46 a gallon north, 43rd Cashwise, Bismarck. Hurry.